estate services, Lavazzi and Boob1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 480. I'm Adam and you're doomed, Doctor. This is Debbie Melrose.
They discovered fire.
Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
I'll explain later.
Kirsty Bissett.
Say hello to the sofa of reasonable comfort.
Robert Haynes.
Cute, sexy, and lick the mirror handsome.
Mary Lang.
Nice.
Mary. Mary.
Oh, I didn't hear you call my name.
That's because people, I'll try again. And Mary Lang.
You're just not the man I fell in love with.
Today, we're going to be reviewing The Curse of Fatal Death by Stephen Moffat. And,
ahem.
What do you mean, ahem? Sorry? That's a strange sort of very deliberate throat clearance that's made it sound like I'd said something wrong. So, lit, without a further ado, let's talk about Doctor Who.
I think you forgot someone.
Oh, I told you I'd forget someone. Who did I forget?
Hi, Adam. How are you today?
Matthew Kressel. I thought I said you a bit earlier on.
All the cruelty, all the suffering, all those endless quarries.
Very appropriate after I forgot you, wasn't it, Matthew?
That's appropriate last line for the classic era.
Yeah. Right, anyway, into the story. So the story
time I've only dung sleds for food.
Nearly began before I got interrupted. It nearly began. Hasn't begun yet, but it nearly began before I got interrupted. Here we go. Right then, so we start in the Master's greenish TARDIS. All sorts of green light and the very wobbly time rotor, sort of wobbling up and down deliberately.
Yeah. I think that's wonderful. There's somebody obviously in there just shaking it.
Yeah, he's got doing a bit of a workout for that particular scene.
Well, it's because it's a fan-built TARDIS console, actually.
Yes, very good.
Nothing but the best for the BBC.
As were the Daleks, they were also fan-built.
Again, excellent.
Yeah, all from the Devious fan film, because the BBC didn't have any of this. And the Devious people, I think it somehow ended up on the BBC radar, so they got a phone call, first off asking, can we borrow your TARDIS console? And then another phone call going, how many Daleks do you have and can we borrow them?
Mm. So the Master is very pantomime villain in this particular thing.
He's great.
And,
he is.
And, course, and showing up in that Eric Roberts outfit, yes.
And, of course, he's having a little bit of banter with Rowan Atkinson's Doctor, who initially has his back to the camera just for the joke that they were going through at that particular time. Of course,
and
he switches the picture off.
The coat rack is in the Master's TARDIS. Yay!
Yes. It's just when he says, correct, I can still hear you, and he goes, I knew that.
It's going to take us forever to get through this, because we're all going to be constantly pointing out things.
Mm-hmm. So. Ooh, well, that'd be interesting.
You knew here, Mary. I thought you'd been here before. Or
I just wonder how long, whether the bloke pushing the time rotor up and down would have got tired at some point, you know. But anyway. Sorry,
I did say to my wife before I started, I said, it's a very short episode we're reviewing, so it should take twice as long.
Yeah. I told my wife the same thing this morning.
Very true.
Anyway, Terry Miles says, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Terry Miles.
Hello, anyway, Terry. So
the Doctor arranges to meet the Master at a specific place, which I do love the graphic they used, with this sort of like teetering lump of rock with a temple at the top of it. So, quite clever. Yeah. And also what I liked was that the camera angle as the Master was doing his laughter.
Maniacal.
Laughter. As it sort of it rises up and looks down on him. I quite like that. So I won't remember. I've watched this about three times, which is to say...
Three times in your life? I've probably seen this a good 20, 30 times.
No, I'm saying I watched it three times this week. I never do that. I normally only watch stuff once in a thing. Yeah. So this is the first that I've actually watched this three times. It's so much fun. So the TARDIS materializes in this place where they decided to meet up. And Julia Sawala walks out as the companion. Do we actually get the companion's name?
She's named Emma.
Emma.
Yeah. That's it, yeah. Sorry, I've missed that.
If history had gone a little bit differently, she would have been the companion in 1990, actually.
Ah.
I wouldn't have opposed that, because I like Julia Sawala.
Yeah, it's good. Yes. I also quite like these sort of special sort of graphics of the, you know, the higher angle looking down on this sort of temple from above. Very cleverly done.
Showing off.
Oh God, I've just hurt myself. Right.
So not a cramp again.
No.
Can I have a cramp?
My ankle just twisted. I need a wet cloth.
It's almost time for Krampus.
No, I just.
Badum dish.
I said I need a cold wet cloth. I've just twisted my ankle. Anyway, the master turns up and does a very clever bit of pinning the Doctor and Emma to the wall and does some more mastery sort of pantomimey stuff. Actually, I do like the master's outfit. I know you said about the Eric Roberts thing, but it does really suit Jonathan Pryce.
Yes,
it's not quite as over the top as Eric Roberts.
And I do like some of the deliberate green lighting that befalls the master whenever he's talking and stuff. Just moving. I actually got to the point now. I've been playing it.
Master?
The Master's what we're talking about. Yes, well done.
This is the first use of the mill for special effects, who later would be used when the show came back.
Maybe that's how they got the job. So the Master revolves a wall, and which spins the Doctor and Emma around, and of course the wall comes back again with them sat on the sofa of...
Reasonable comfort.
Yes.
Which you probably don't know. This is probably a reference to a thing on Monty Python called Python. Not the Comfy Chair.
Yes, yeah. I wanted to talk to you about that. Yeah, because that's what I picked up a lot of sort of very sly references towards Python throughout this.
Laurie Nick says hi all. The best Doctor Who episode ever.
She's right. Well, no, not better than the Five-ish Doctors.
Oh, that was good. Yeah, I don't know. This is exceptionally good, to be fair.
Five-ish Doctors isn't exactly Doctor Who. It's
I'll talk about it later, how I placed this.
How many more Doctors?
Yeah, exactly. And also because
Doctor
of
Who
the
episode.
I'm more likely for. I really like the Five-ish Doctors better than. The actual 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
Even though
I love
the 50th anniversary. It's so fantastic.
It's all good. All the 50th anniversary stuff was good. Anyway, back to this. At this point, then the Doctor and the Master starts having little comedy competitions in a way, in which they outdo each other, and of course the Master. What?
They start having Moffatisms.
Yeah, yes. But I don't. It doesn't matter. It's funny. The Master plans for the Doctor to fall down a pit, which the Doctor uses wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff, which is an RTD invention by the way, to actually make the Master fall down the pit. And then there's also a bit where the Doctor pronounces that he's going to give up travelling and get married and settle down with Emma. Which is a sort of almost like a Mickey take of the Eighth Doctor movie and a sort of a forerunner to River Song episodes and stuff.
Well, the idea of settling down and all of that, retiring because you've saved the universe so many times, was actually a Douglas Adams idea that Graham Williams, the producer, wouldn't let him write, which ended up leading to Shada, which, of course, famously never got finished.
Ah.
And Moffat's going to revisit the idea again in The Snowman as well for, you know, being festively themed.
Right. That's good, yeah, but that's because the Doctor was in a sulk.
Can I mention something?
No.
None of it's the thing I want to mention.
Okay. I don't want to hear from you, Robert.
No, you know Blink. That was written by Stephen Moffat, right?
Yes.
They introduced the bit about Wibbly Wobbly Timey Wimey.
Yeah.
So it wasn't RTD.
Wibbly Wobbly Timey Wimey was...
It's for you.
Where's my phone? Yes. Hello?
Hello?
No, Sylvester. You're still the worst doctor. Sorry.
Hi.
Yeah, sorry about that. Just Sylvester McCoy. Just asking if he'd moved up the... Just Sylvester McCoy asking if he'd moved up my personal list of doctors.
Oh, Master.
Yes.
Master, you. This should be our Tim Drury moment, because it's his birthday yesterday, and he got a video from Sylvester.
Yes, and I saw that, and it was lovely. When it got old Sylv.
So you need to do the Tim Drury.
Well, I prefer to do the Tim Drury thing on my own, on my own back, Kirby, and also when Tim himself, has actually turned up. But thanks anyway, Kirby, for your interference. I mean, input.
Actually add something about the episode. an interesting thing in here is the whole interplay about having lunch or dinner with the architect.
Oh, yes.
It was a line that's reused in the Weeping Angels two-parter. I beg your pardon? You're asking me to speed up? You're asking me to spit it out?
Spit what out?
Yes. when they're on their way up from the weeping, running away from the weeping angels, he says something about. That's when the doctor realizes that, you know, they're the wrong statues, that they don't have two heads, because the architect that he had lunch with had two heads.
That's exciting, so Kirby.
He made a reference to being back in time, having lunch with the architect.
Yeah, cycling himself.
That one's just in my head, by the way. That's not on a piece of paper somewhere.
Excellent.
Yes.
Ding. Ding.
Ding.
Ding.
He's not impressed.
Adam, give the man a ding.
No, I'm trying to find an appropriate bit of music for Kirby getting excited about Doctor Who fact.
He's trying to get me to spit it out.
Kirby's excited music.
This might work. Feels so good. Yeah, that'll work, won't it?
Are you sure?
That's Kirby getting excited about a Doctor Who fact that he didn't know about. I think that works really, really well. Anyway,
I don't know.
Ooh. Right then. Right, so the Master has fallen down the pit, and he's a little bit older. And he's arrived back with some friends, the Daleks. Of course, the Master has associated himself with the Daleks on several occasions. And the
Daleks...
Daleks that you have to note, voiced by Roy Skelton. And this is the last time Roy Skelton voiced the Daleks on screen. What a legend!
It'll be Nicholas Briggs from here on out on screen, and a Big Finish for that matter.
Indeed. So it would be nice to have Roy Skelton and Nicholas Briggs to a certain degree, wouldn't it? But it didn't happen. Anyway, and I do love the bit where obviously he's been augmented by the Daleks and he's got a sucker for a hand.
And I like her comment. What are you going to do with that?
Which is essentially what they did.
You don't know, do you, afterwards?
Well, doesn't that happen in Dalek with the bloke, what are you going to do that? And he has his face sucked off by it.
Well, that's a borrowed line, too, from there's the Doctor Who magazine comic with Absalom Dalek, where Absalom Dak is a Dalek killer, gets threatened by one of the Daleks. He's like, what are you going to do, sucker me to death?
Yes.
It's terrific. We watched that the other week, and Isla's face, oh my God.
What, Dalek?
We've been doing going through from Rose for Isla, because she finally decided that she was brave enough to watch Vashti Narada and things like that.
Oh, good,
we had a bit
good
of a problem with the empty child, though.
Right. Well,
we digress, though.
Laurie Nick says, waves at Tim, happy birthday week.
Yay!
Happy birthday, Tim.
Happy birthday.
I'm 43 tomorrow.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Happy early birthday, Debbie.
Oh, happy birthday, Debbie.
Thank you.
I didn't want to mention that. Actually,
so you'll no longer be the answer.
No, I'm very disappointed.
Aww.
What do you mean you'll no longer be the answer? What's that mean?
42. Think about it.
Oh, I see. Why don't
I've turned a towel that Tom got me for my birthday last year with the thumbs up sign from the Hitchhikers film, and 42 and Don't Panic written on it. I've turned that into a scene.
That'll do. Right then.
And many more.
So the Doctor and Emma end up running through a load of corridors, being chased by a load of Daleks. And the
corridors that all look alike. Yeah.
Well, that's the way it's supposed to be on Doctor Who. But fortunately, obviously they don't get killed at the beginning of the next episode.
They run into a room full of Daleks, which either has three Daleks in it or a whole army, depending on which version of it you're watching.
Typical Doctor Who. Anyway, so they get... They get tied to a chair.
Why do there chairs on a Dalek spaceship?
Oh my God, they're almost in unison now. It's almost complete, isn't it?
Well, they could easily get out of the Oh yeah, what we forgot to mention, that they were talking about the species that communicate by farting, which I could communicate with, actually. So I was quite pleased with that particular input.
Don't clench, Adam. Don't clench.
But anyway, Kirsty Bissett says, Amy, isn't there a child? Excuse me, hiccups.
That was a hiccup. It's the episode, it's just for reference.
And belching. Okay.
That wasn't a belch, it was a hiccup. Tim Drury. Everybody can now say happy birthday to Tim.
Happy birthday to you.
So then we get to play this again. Anyway, he says the architect was bribed into being reviewed this week. Right, where'd I get up to? Oh yeah, so we talked about the farting. I have noticed that actually once the master gets the Doctor into this seat with Emma tied together, his hair and his complexion have returned. He's regenerated himself back into the previous version of himself.
And he's got his etheric beam locators.
Yes.
Yes. Another borrow.
Borrow from?
Genesis of the Daleks.
Daleks? War! Genesis of the Daleks. Hey, war!
Daleks. Oh, Daleks.
Anyway, Tim Drury, he says, the only thing wrong with this is non-canonical sketch. With this non-canonical sketch is the lighting is too bright at some points, thus highlighting the cheapness of the set. But I think that was the point, wasn't it? They were trying to sort of make it
Doctor-hoo-y. I read that this Moffat wrote this as if it could be canonical because at the time there was not a Ninth Doctor.
Yeah, and that really ticked off a section of the Doctor Who fandom at both him and the BBC, who felt that basically not only was he making fun of their favorite show, but he was killing off their favorite show permanently.
I didn't.
If only
that.
They knew what laid a few years beyond.
Yeah, but I didn't get that with this. I thought it was. I'll talk about that in a minute. Stop trying to get me to talk about it long I'm finished watching it.
We're also going to end up with another Doctor. Now.
Yes.
Anyway, Tim Drury says not many decorations at Adam's. There, I have got a decoration. Thank you, Tim. I shall go and get it.
Oh, where is it? I was going to say that earlier, but I didn't want to be rude.
Hang on. Say what?
Then he doesn't have any decorations.
Look, this is my decoration.
I'll have
it's
to
very
wait
good because it's like Kirby.
Up.
You can wind it up.
Is that what it's called then? Kirby decoration.
Oh, he's going to get it now.
Oh, that's terrible.
What do you mean it's terrible?
The noise.
It's very loud.
Well, do apologise. It's a twinkly Christmas tree from Marks and Spencer.
Well, I can't last see year. It.
Trouble is, you can't turn it off. You'll have to wait for it to stop now.
I could just hear
it.
All the decorations are in the mainly in the other room. This is the man cave. We don't decorate the man cave.
Decorate the man cave.
Where were we? All right. Yeah. So the doctor has escaped binds. A Dalek shoots. We forgot to mention.
Dalek.
Because obviously the master has been redone by the Daleks, and he's got a couple of bumps on his chest.
Derek B. Logan.
Right.
Anyway.
They're bumps.
But you know what?
They're
what?
Bumps. Yeah.
You know what, Debbie?
Dalek bumps.
What?
They're very firm.
So the doctor gets shot by a rebound binding something, whatever. We think he's dying. Of course, he regenerates. Into the Schalke Doctor.
Yes.
With the music supplied by old regeneration scenes.
Yes.
Yeah. Legapolis. Well, they didn't have... there's a lot of reused Classic Who music this. So there's music from, I know, Megloss, Caves of Androzani, yeah. Legopolis, obviously. Mm. I think there's even a brief cue from Warriors of the Deep that pops up at one point.
Oh, God.
And Mark Ayres actually, at one point, reuses some music he did for the More Than 30 Years in the TARDIS documentary.
Yep.
When watching this with Fred the other night... she went, did he really lick that mirror?
He did. And we'll talk about Richard E. Grant, by the way, who played this particular incarnation of the Doctor and the Schalke Doctor. Slightly different portrayal when he did the Schalke Doctor, to be fair.
Yes.
But there you go. Anyway, because he does sort of bounce around. Emma likes him even more,
Plus,
by the way.
He's going to be the Great Intelligence, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
But... Yep. He fiddles with the machine, and there's an explosion, and Jim Broadbent staggers out.
Has Fortunately, Jim Broadbent always looked that age? He still looks like that.
I spotted him in the 1980 film The Dogs of War, based on the Frederick Forsyth novel. And, I mean, he wasn't much older than I am now when he popped up in that, but he looks the exact same age.
He's just Jim Broadbent. Yeah.
First thing I remember seeing him was Only Fools and Horses many years ago.
Some people make a career out of being a certain way, and then that must be his.
Great. Yeah.
Right.
He did another skit as the Doctor, didn't he, on another show?
Back in the 80s, I think. It was. Was it one of the ones that was on the VHS of this? Does anybody know off the top of their Kirby.
I haven't seen my VHS.
It's on YouTube. You can see it on YouTube.
The recording I've got has got all the things that are on YouTube. The Lenny Henry sketch, which is really, really good, and a couple of other bits and bobs as well. And it's all on this DVD, which I must have recorded off the telly at the time.
The skits from the back half popped up on the Trial of a Time Lord DVD, what I remember.
Anyway, Jim Broadbent's Doctor... the first time the Doctor's regenerated standing up, by the way, disappears around a corridor corner as a flash, and
Grant.
In staggers,
Grant.
Hudge Grant.
Grant.
Now, a personal point here.
Yes.
At one point, my brother says he was living in the same building as Elizabeth Hurley.
Yeah.
Whether this is true or not, I don't know. But my brother tells this story, and they would talk occasionally if they saw each other, and she had mentioned that her then husband, boyfriend, whatever, was going to be the next doctor.
Oh, right.
Okay. He's like, no, she told me. She told me, and I'm like, okay, whatever. Well, he was kind of right.
Yeah.
Just for a very short period of time.
For a few seconds, anyway.
He certainly looks the Hudge Grant that was, for Widdens and Funeral, because he doesn't look like that now, let's face it. Again, Emma absolutely thrilled to bits Doctor looks like that. But unfortunately, he doesn't last long, and he gets done
he
in.
Did
and,
well, though, I thought.
Yeah, very good. It was very good, yes. But Hugh Grant is a very good actor. And then he, with a glow of light, which is quite reminiscent of the regenerations that will follow, the first ever female doctor who would have been sorry, I'm allowed to say this, would have been much better even now than Jodie Whittaker. Joanna Lumley.
Indeed, indeed.
Well, the first BBC one, let's okay. be honest.
Okay, but she, yeah, but she's great. Because
there had been at least one other one running around in the fan film scene here in the U.S. Right. In the late 80s.
All right.
And I have heard anecdotally that there were all kinds of sketches and stuff being done at conventions even back then of female doctors. So
back in New Zealand we did a fan video and the end of it our doctor got blasted by a Dalek and then we did a funny skit and it was like doctor nurse. Nurse? Very sexist indeed, weren't we?
Well, there was a certain amount of sexism in this, wasn't there?
Not proud
there's
of that
also
one.
There's also the female doctor in the Big Finish Unbound series.
All right.
Let's not mention Exile, Barry. Oh, let's not mention Exile.
It's one of my favorites. I love that story.
Because you have no taste, Mary.
Ooh.
I think we need to roll out that music.
Ooh, there
If Joanna Lumley had continued to be the doctor and the writing was as bad as Jodie's, you wouldn't be thinking what you...
Okay, well, yeah, the thing is, I think really. Not Joanna Lumley, but not the way Joanna Lumley played the doctor in this particular scene. It was all for laughs, and especially the vibrating sonic screwdriver thing that was highly amusing.
Can I mention something about that?
He said it.
No, you can't. No, sorry.
Yes, you can. Of course you can.
It's very relevant.
It
is. You can all have a laugh at that, right?
Yeah.
And I thought that funny.
It was.
I made a joke on a forum when somebody... And you know that photo leaked of... Jodie's sonic screwdriver, and I made a reference like, it goes up to 10. And somebody really went off at me at a forum and really hoed into me saying I'm misogynistic, and I got called homophobic, and God knows what.
Well, it's the sort of thing you get banned from the 20 megabyte group for, which thankfully in 10 years nobody really, apart from one person maybe, has been banned from the group. But only because that person got banned for...
I remember you getting grief, that was so wrong.
Yes. Well, somebody got banned for being abusive towards the leisure, I think, if I remember at the time. Anyway. So that's basically the story. Once the regenerations happen, it's all about the regenerations and comedy about that. And eventually, Joanna Lumley's doctor goes off with the master in a romantic cuddle into the corridors. So there we go. Okay.
Notice they had to duck to get through that archway every time.
Yes.
Like, this was not built for you, was it? No.
Laurie Nick says, so many good lines in this. Anyway, right. So that's all I'm going to say about the First of Fatal Death. It's absolutely thoroughly enjoyable. It's all for fun. It is very, very fun, and it's absolutely wonderful seeing the various actors portraying the characters in it, doing it. You know, especially Hugh Grant turning up playing the Doctor. And for me, even though you know that people are saying, "Oh, this is taking the Mickey out of my favourite show," they've got some top quality international Hollywood actors in to play the Doctor in this alleged piss take of Doctor Who. For me, it wasn't a piss take of Doctor Who. It was, I love you, Doctor Who. This is what we could
yes,
do
definitely.
With it.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, homage, definitely.
And
this is what Dimensions in Time should have been.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amen, Kirby.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Oh, hang on, Kirby. I think you deserve this. So yeah, love it. It's beautiful. To be fair, I'm very proud when people say, "Oh, Doctor Who." Hang on a second. I was like, upstairs and saying, "Hang on a second, Isabella, watch The Curse of Fatal Death and see we've got a female doctor." Yes, it's slightly sexist, but she quite likes innuendo and stuff like that. She'd probably find that sexist part of it really, really funny. See, we've got Hugh Grant, who's one of the really best actors in the world at the moment, in it, and obviously Richard E. at the time was one of the noted as one of the best actors. So Jim Broadbent, it's a Hollywood, isn't he not an Oscar winner?
I think he's been nominated. I don't think he's ever won.
Yeah, but again, he's
a really good actor.
Nominated. So it's it's something to be proud of in my view. And of course, Stephen Moffat's first Doctor Who outing, and what he went on to do before we tried to ruin the show. But actually, when we look back at it, he didn't really ruin it, did he? Now we've ended up stuck with Chris Chibnall. But anyway, yes, it's great. It was really, really good. So who should we go for first?
He won that Oscar, by the way.
What?
What?
He won that Oscar for Iris, Best Supporting Actor.
Do I get a ding?
I didn't realize that.
Thanks for that's for me, by the way, Kirby. So, as you were very good to
pet it now.
as you were so good to show that
there's
I was right.
Three of us.
You may.
Not really. Oh, no, we have to suffer
eventually.
With
tell me.
Thanks, Mary. Person. Much appreciated.
What do you think? Oh, here we go.
I'm saying nothing.
You see, there used to be two pedants.
It was all going so well.
Kirby and Mr. Bartlett Sloan. They merged. And so now we have Kirby Bartlett Sloan. And we're going to see another merge coming soon with the two of them.
Oh, my God.
So at some point, Kirby will say what he thinks of it. And...
Excuse me?
Okay! Go on, then.
I'm confused. Is it my turn?
Well, if you hadn't been talking over me saying, like, Kirby, what did you think of it, et cetera, et cetera, you might have realized it was your turn, yes.
this is absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I even ended up on a panel discussion at the last Time Gate before it turned into Hulanta one evening to discuss this. And while I was on the panel, I won a...
the
door prize over in the main room. So that was kind of weird. I just love this. I can turn this on and watch it anytime. I did not know that there were two different mid showing differences with the Daleks. So leave that to Matthew to notice that. But for a long, long time,
Let it go.
Until it was officially released on YouTube, I had just the bits and bobs of ones I managed to download. Even way back before YouTube, I found a copy out there and downloaded this because it's just so wonderful. And Jonathan Pryce is great. They're all great.
Yes, they are. And because I forgot Matthew... Matthew, what did you think of it? But I've got my disc here. This is my actual The Curse of Fatal Death disc that from Comic Relief. I recorded, not off the telly, but off the VHS tape that I transferred to this.
Oh, they released a VHS, a real official VHS?
There is.
They did in the UK, with all the proceeds going to
Australia. Comic Relief.
Oh, did it come out in Australia too?
They released it. Well, they had it. I got it from PBX.
Oh.
They had it as one of their Doctor Who Drive prizes. Oh. That you know levels.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, please.
Well, I tell you, I bought the VHS tape off eBay and then transferred it to DVD.
Right. I should do that.
Sold the VHS back on eBay.
There you go.
You are so wise.
Well, he's putting it back out there for any other fan who wants to find it again.
True.
I think that's reasonable.
Now, it's especially true in the pre-YouTube age before it was up there in decent quality.
Indeed. Yeah. Matthew, what did you think of it?
I quite enjoyed it. I mean, I saw it fairly early on. I saw one of the first uploads of it on YouTube when it was first put up officially, and I'd long heard of it but had never seen it. And I got a big laugh out of it then, and watching it again this morning, I got a good chuckle out of it still, even after all these years. It's another one of those that, like the TV movie and like Shaka when we talk about it in a couple of weeks, it's one of those odd bridges between Classic Who and Modern Who, because, you know, as we mentioned, Roy Skelton's last time doing the Daleks, a lot of homages to Classic Who, but also appearances and also from people who are going to pop up eventually in Modern Who, and also Stephen Moffat writing for the first time with the show. Though I am going to correct you on something, Adam. He had done one of the Seventh Doctor short stories for the Virgin Decalogue books. So this
is that a TV? Is that a TV production? Excuse me.
Yes.
I said on TV. Thank you very much.
You did not say on TV, I believe.
Okay.
I said it in my mind, and that's what counts.
But Kirby, I digress.
I thought Kirby wrote all this down. While we were saying it, no? No?
Anyway, It's just a lot of fun. And, you know, the choice of doctors is very, you know, is great because there had been a poll apparently done in DWM a year or two before this where it was kind of like asking readers, if you were going to cast somebody to be the doctor, who would it be? And what they basically did was they took the top five results and they grabbed them and said, we're not going to pay you anything. It's for charity. But would you be interested in doing this? And they managed to get everybody. So it's – and also Hugh Grant was actually the original choice for the Ninth Doctor before Christopher Eccleston was approached.
Oh, wow.
For those who didn't know that.
Oh, so my brother was right then.
Yeah.
He was bastard.
He was a bastard.
Did I say bastard on here?
You said it now.
Well, you have now, so.
No, tell him he was wrong. Just tell him he's wrong.
Yeah, wrong. He's wrong in a lot of things, so.
Yes. It's a very affectionate homage to classic Who, and especially coming at a time when there hadn't been a show on air for 10 years, it's a lot to enjoy. Though, you know, in retrospect, 1999 was a big year for Doctor Who, especially in the wilderness years. This is happening. The books are still going. The Eighth Doctor novels and Past Doctor adventures at the BBC are in full swing going into their second year. Big Finish, near and dear to my heart, is starting up. And over at BBC Radio 4, Dan Freeman is working on the commissioning process for what's going to become Death Comes to Time. So, yeah, I like to think of it as a late 35th anniversary skit, but it's still a lot of fun even now.
It is indeed. Thank you, Matthew. Right then, so we've done it.
I have a question. If they release this one on VHS and they didn't pay anybody anything, why couldn't they do that with Dimensions in Time?
I think because Dimensions in Time had a lot more complications attached to it because of Children in Need versus Comic Relief.
Oh.
And also, I'm very good.
I thought they were pretty much the same charity. With
no. Sorry, oh. I'm just saying no, because it's not the same charity. They may have the same similar things that they're, you know, they're contributing to. Comic Relief is very much a split between British charities and African sort of famine type charities, whereas Children in Need is completely children in Britain that are in need.
I imagine too that having learned their lesson from Dimensions in Time, there may have been a waiver that was kind of handed around saying, please sign this so that we can deal with this. I don't know that for sure, but it seems a distinct possibility.
Sorry, somebody just posted something quite amusing. A while back, Terry Miles said, kettle's on. But Neil James said, hi, you attractive people. Just planning ahead. What time is the Christmas Day 20 megabyte podcast special on Saturday? Yeah, exactly is what I thought. I'm not working. I don't know what I'm
doing. Are we doing a special on Saturday?
No, Mary. No. Don't get excited. No, we're not doing one.
This is it.
Anyway, sorry, Matthew.
Merry Christmas.
Did you get to the end of your bit, Matthew? Sorry, I got.
I got done.
You
yeah.
did right. So,
are we doing Shaka next week, or are we doing?
No, we're having a week off, dear.
We're not doing anything next week.
A week off.
Okay.
Yay!
Right.
How
right.
Right.
And then we're moving on. We're skipping
we're
over.
We're trying to move on, by. Kirby. Yes. Okay, let's go for a weekend.
Sitting by.
Let's go for
night.
Let's go for the one of the women. Right then, who should we go for? Kirsty, you can have a go. Yes.
Yeah, it's the first thing that Stephen Moffat wrote on TV. Doctor Who. Just had to say that. and also the best thing he ever wrote for Doctor Who.
Those are fighting words.
Classic show, and yeah, it's the best thing I think he's ever done. Well, I mean, there is Blaine.
Chris Gang was quite good.
I mean, apparently later on he takes over the show and made some stories and stuff, but
grinds it into the ground. Yes.
Well, he hired a girl who's better off playing a robot.
Kirsty, you're in a bad mood this evening.
I remember when this came out, and I think I'd heard about it first, but then, as I said, it was on PBS. It was one of their PBS drives when I was living in Minnesota. And so I got to watch it, and then the bonus part was you contribute a certain amount, and you know, depending on the prize level, you get this, that, the other, a keychain to start off with, and then, you know, so you had to give a fair chunk, like 50, probably 60 bucks or so, to PBS, and you would get a gift in return. I've got a Red Dwarf t-shirt as well.
Yay. I'm getting a Love Dwarf.
Yep. It's a smoke me a kipper. I'll be back for breakfast. They showed this, and then the bonus part of it was the extra materials that were on the rest of it that they didn't show on PBS.
Yeah.
So it's like, you'll get access to, you know, it's like, so that was like, okay, I'm sold. And it's great. I still have it. I've gotten rid of some of my VHS tapes over the years as I've replaced them with Blu-rays or, you know, DVDs and Blu-rays, but
Blu-rays?
Yeah, that one I just Blu-rays.
You get Blu-rays?
Yeah, I got Blu-rays. Yeah. Didn't want to bring it up, but no. Actually, speaking of versions, this morning I found there's a 4K upconvert or whatever they call it.
Upscale.
So if you just put in, you know, Curse of Fatal Death.
It's on YouTube.
4K, I watched the upgrade, and it's in two parts on there, and it's really quite good. I haven't watched it on my 4K TV
very
yet.
Very, very clever how they did that.
I can't remember.
I saw it on YouTube.
Just look. It's on YouTube. I don't know anything more than that. I just watched it, Kirby. That's all.
Well, I'm wondering, does it have a crowd of Daleks, or does it have three
Daleks? It has a crowd of Daleks.
Crowd of Daleks.
A crowd of 4K Daleks.
It's a very weird echo thing going on this episode.
Like a murder of crows.
Murder of echoes.
No, it was really great, and that's the one of the things, if you do have the extras, they do a nice little interview with the cast, including quite in-depth on Jonathan Pryce. And it's like, when I first watched it, I didn't realize who it was. And then I'm talking to him, like, holy crap, I got him too. I'm like, gee, you know.
Yeah. And Dark. It's really cool. Yes.
And then there's interviews, of course, with Stephen Moffat. So it's even brilliant to get hold of that, because there's little Stevie. Look, I got to do Doctor Who on TV! Not just in printed materials.
Mm. At the time, I always thought about Jonathan Pryce as being Mr. Dark in Something Wicked.
Mm. But yeah, it's fun and fantastic, and it's, you know, if you wanted to kind of lightheartedly introduce somebody to Doctor Who, you could easily do it with this.
Yes.
It's like, what's it about? It's all, well, here's a funny skit they did about it. I'm like, well, that's kind of interesting. But, you know, because you get, like, four or five regenerations, all of the completely different people with different personalities. It's actually not a bad little ad for the show. In a fun way, you know?
I agree.
I think it might have helped in bringing it back, because people are like, that's right, that thing was really fun. And we could have some, you know, decent actors in there playing it, and look, here where we are now.
Yeah.
With it going downhill rapidly, yes.
Thank you, Kirsten.
Stop it.
Stop being horrible, Kirby. Anyway, Debbie, what did you think?
It's very hard to follow up after everybody's been so eloquent. But, yeah, I got some good giggles out of this. I've found it a bit not tricky to follow, but you could tell that it should be in like bursts, like episodes again. So I went back to it and started again, like little bursts of episodes over the course of a day. And anyone else getting my echo, or is
don't
that
worry,
just...
I think no, it's a Skype thing tonight. Too. People are echoing for some reason.
No, I'm not getting an echo.
Yeah. So I've really quite enjoyed this one, but I didn't get to watch it with Isla, which I was hoping to.
Aww.
I was there going, look, that's so and so, look, that's so and so to myself, and that gets quite annoying sometimes. But it was, I really enjoyed just seeing what, yeah, because obviously it's fan made console room. That was just joyous to see that bit, and the whole conversation with him turning off the screen, and I can still hear you, you know. It's like, that was so, that's so relevant to what we've been going through in lockdown.
echo.
I think
echo.
The echo is because you're bad. Just coming through everybody else's who's got you on speaker. It's just going around. That's all on the loop for some reason.
No, I'm on a headset, so.
All right, you don't get any blame, Robert.
Yeah, I'm not getting an echo.
I'm hearing the echo, and I've been using speakers for several years now, so I don't understand.
It's weird. Maybe it's Skype. It's what happens sometimes.
Yeah, I'm turning the volume down. Hang on.
I don't think it's you. Anyway, enough of the 20 megabyte echo on Skype podcast.
Echo off.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, basically, I really did. I enjoyed this. It's such a cuddle of a Doctor Who episode.
It is.
It's honouring Doctor Who and just trying to keep that whole wobbly set vibe going was hysterical, and just the master with his bumps was just it was just so many good little nuggets that just kept you going and kept you watching and going, this is ridiculous but how funny. So yeah, I enjoyed it.
Thank you. Ality Butcher says, I'm not getting an echo. I'm not getting an echo. Oh no, Neil James is trying to goad Matthew. Lots of James Bond connections in this one. Jonathan Pryce, Tomorrow Never Dies. Rowan Atkinson, yep. Never Say Never Again. Joanna Lumley on Her Majesty's Secret Service. I knew that was bound to get Matthew's juices going. Good, he shut up. Right then, Robert, have you had your say-so yet? I don't think you have.
No. my watch is a little bit soured by how Stephen Moffat went on the show. So I probably didn't find it as funny this time as I did the first time. But I still enjoyed it, and I thought it was a pretty good romp. And as you say, it's like a nice homage to the series, isn't it? You know, got Regenerations, got the long mentioned about, you know, regenerating into a woman, some quite funny jokes, and I like the sorry that was me line as well. That was funny. But because I was thinking, what line am I going to use for the
the whole thing?
But yeah, it's got lots of funny stuff in it, and it's a very enjoyable, and it goes by so fast, really.
It does.
And yeah, it was released in on VHS in Australia as well, so we're lucky because it came with that documentary that's been mentioned, as well as the skits, which I think came on the, as Matthew, was it Matthew said, the Trial of the Time Lord DVD.
I had forgotten about that particular documentary. I saw it several years ago.
Yeah, I didn't watch it this time.
I didn't either.
I haven't got my VHS set up to watch it, so I mean, I still got all my Doctor Who DVD VHS. Funny enough. I quite enjoyed it, and it was nice to see so many famous faces as well.
Yes.
And they all put in a pretty good job, I think. Even with the, you know, some of the special effects, I thought. You know, the morphing between the doctors and stuff. So, yeah.
I was enjoyable. Watching, there's something about movies, this week, I think, because, is it Rafe Spall, Timothy Spall's son, has been on it twice, and he was referring to there was a time in which he nearly was the doctor. That's probably wouldn't quite good, actually, to be fair. But anyway. I think he was thinking he was going to get the part, but didn't.
Probably the 96 TV movie, because I know he's in Regenerations as one of the many actors who auditioned for it.
Ah, there you go then.
Master,
what?
Did any of us mention that the never cruel or cowardly line?
No.
Because Moffat reused it in Day of the Doctor.
Yes.
Are you trying to imply that it's unusual for Moffat to reuse
stuff? Oh, he does. It's awful.
Yeah. It was good.
That's why I said it's the best thing he's ever written, because all the stuff that you guys, that we all like, is scattered throughout the rest of the show. It's these were all his good ideas.
have you not forgotten
that he tended to reuse stuff? Writers like Terry Nation and Bob Holmes weren't recycling their own material over and over again.
Terry Nation was recycling the same plot over and over again.
I think my favorite thing about Terry Nation isn't from Doctor Who. He apparently was writing for shows like The Saint and the Baron, and at one point the Baron had a script go down and needed it to be filled. So he took one of the scripts from The Saint, changed all the names from it, changed a couple of details, and they actually produced it. And nobody realized it till years later when it got when the two episodes got repeated back to back and people called up the TV station going, what the blank is going on?
It's not plagiarism if you plagiarize yourself, right?
I think that's what Terrence Sticks used to say, was you can't plagiarize yourself.
Anyway, Neil James is on great form this evening. He says, this is a great discussion, but I'm really missing the Paul McGann era.
Yeah.
And finally, we get to this bit. Mary, what did you think?
Oh, I love this. This, every bit of it, a joy to watch. And one of the big reasons is that this isn't just like another spoof on Doctor Who. This was written by someone who is a Doctor Who fan and who played out the things that have been living in the heads of fans all the time they've been watching the show. Lines like, Doctor, all these corridors look the same. And why are there chairs in a Dalek ship? and even the questioning, you know, why not go back in time to fix things? You know, cause we all think it's possible, you know, but it is done eventually with the 13th Doctor. She does go back in time to fix things. And the portrayal of the Master, the way that he plays it, it is so wonderful because it's like he already has it in his head that he's wasted his whole life going after the Doctor, but it's like he can't help himself. It's like the Roadrunner and Wile E. Old Coyote.
Yes.
And he plays it that way, and that's what I love about that. And something that you all probably knew but nobody mentioned it is that the producer of this piece is Sue, I think her last name is Virtue.
She is
Steve Moffat's wife.
Oh.
And that's how she got him to write this. And when they started out, they did not expect to get the big names that they got. They were, you know, they played around with ideas as to who they'd love to play the different parts. But they expected to be turned down. But what they found out, you know, to their surprise, is they were all kind of all these actors that they kind of tentatively were approaching were falling over themselves wanting to be a part of this. Some of them even canceled or delayed other projects that they were working on in order to be a part of this. So I think that the quality of the writing, the joyous references to all the, you know, the Doctor Who tropes that the fans, you know, really could eat up, and the wonderfulness of the actors that were involved. I think it's just like a 10 out of 10. It's just great in every regard.
Yay.
Oh, well, I was just absorbed to that. Thank you, Mary.
Sorry, I was just getting a stiff drink.
I beg your pardon.
I was just getting a
Matthew Kressel says, Mary likes it. I am shocked and amazed. You didn't have to say on that feed, Matt. You are here on the show. What's going on?
Well, I had the feed open reading some of the comments. So that was just the first place I could say it.
Might I add that, like, unlike some pedants, Matthew is polite.
Yes, he is.
Well, one tries.
And he always sets himself up to be disagreed with. You know, where you guys just kind of barrel in and say what you're going to say, and you know, we all have to accept it.
No, you don't.
I am up for a good debate. So.
Sorry, I'm not laughing at you, Matthew. I'm laughing at Neil James. Apologies. I'm a bit drunk. I am genuinely sad that this is the last podcast of 2020, which has been such a wonderful year.
It's not quite
sarcasm.
I'm not really sure how to take that message.
This is a COVID-free podcast. Anyway, apart from Debbie, who just caught it just to be the token COVID person, didn't he, Deb?
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. And the fact that I had to have another blooming test this week.
How's the old Dickie ticker?
Still dickying, tickying.
Pardon?
I'm carrying on. The thinking now is it's angina, so I can live with that.
It's something gina, sorry, I didn't get the
angina.
There's a beep angina, we don't know.
Something giant. Oh, hang on. I've got a sound effect for you, Debbie.
Heart disease. It's much cleaner.
maybe we should play this while you're doing your talks. No, okay. I thought it was quite a good one, that one, to be fair.
I like it.
A heartbeat.
How about this one? No, maybe not. I think I will stick with that one, actually.
I'm fine. I'll be fine.
The thing is you didn't have the double heartbeat.
Debbie's on.
She's a Time Lord.
Yeah.
There's no double heartbeat in Star Trek.
Have they checked to see whether you've got two hearts, Debbie?
No, they haven't, actually. I'm quite intrigued. I think Tom keeps asking me to have that checked.
That's what was wrong in the movie.
Maybe they just need to restart my second one, then I'll be fine again.
Yeah, take that little tube out.
It's just, I'm just knackered all the time. That's the only thing about this that I don't like, is just how blooming fatigued I am.
I'll give you a cuddle once everybody's had their inoculations. So, well, I thought that would go down quite well, but clearly not. Okay. Where are we? Oh, yes, so we've done that bit. Kirby, apparently, you posted a request for feedback.
Of course, with a great little... I enjoyed it. I liked the little animation of the master with his eyebrow raised.
Yeah.
I stole that from maybe a year or two ago. I think Lillian put that out there.
Sorry, somebody must have pressed the head warp factor 8 button. I do apologise.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's a great picture with his augmentation.
Yes.
Yeah. Carry on.
Anyway, the first comment was from me. And it's just a link to the video I made 8 years ago showing the etheric beam locators reference from Genesis of the Daleks.
I mean, I think I might cosplay that, you know.
Excuse me?
I might have to cosplay the etheric beam locators. It's an easy cosplay, isn't it? Just a couple of sort of round things. Or get a ball, cut it in half, paint them gold, stick them up your shirt.
I love the round things.
Just blow up a Dalek.
True.
That's the easiest way, yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Anyway.
Carry on.
Yeah, carry on.
Robert Wins Jr., tell me, Doctor, do these bumps make my butt look big? Like future Daleks in Victory?
Yeah.
Matthew Kressel.
Who?
Who's that?
Many of the Daleks were BBC props, but fan-built ones from the long-in-production Devious fan film. The Devious team wrote about their involvement in 2019. Were they deviant about it?
Anyway, moving on.
Well, they've just now released the first two episodes, and they were still filming when John Pertwee was alive, so...
That's fan films for you.
I need to find a sound effect for rhetorical questions.
Yeah. 40 years Neil later, James. We're halfway through.
Neil James says, "The Curse of Fatal Death, it's quite funny. The cast are entertaining, and the use of classic Doctor Who music was interesting."
Who was that?
Sorry, my chair creaks a lot.
The chair.
Come on. Sorry, that was me.
I didn't know we had any Tercerans on the podcast.
I think he's swearing in Tercerin.
Let me know when I can continue.
Continue.
So strappy tonight.
It's quite funny that Kirby is getting a bit of his own medicine, and it's making the whole section incredibly entertaining. Sorry, I just got to look down Spock's viewer. Nope. Yep. Kirby's still doing the feedback section. Carry on, Kirby.
Neil James continues. "I'm always a fan of boob jokes, and Joanna Lumley delivers a great one looking for the power switch."
Yeah.
"Out of all the guest doctors, Lumley is certainly the one I'd like to see more of in the role. Not in a sexy way. No, actually, both in the role and in a sexy way."
This was... How long has he been drunk?
This was 9 hours ago.
He's not in Britain, is he? Because the only person who would be drunk for 9 hours is anyone who's had to put up with another cataclysmic U-turn by our erstwhile Prime Minister.
If I had been drinking that long, I'd be passed out.
Oh, yeah, it would take it 9 hours.
Well, it explains his posts.
Yes.
This was the first time I'd watched this since its transmission, and it completely serves its purpose as a bit of comic relief, an inoffensive bit of fun. But then he says 2 stars out of 5.
Oh, 2.
He must have accidentally forgotten to type in a couple of stars there.
Yeah. Then he says, podcast recording, he quotes me saying, Curse of Fatal Death.
It's the says, Curse of Fatal Death, Kirby. The Curse of Fatal Death.
May I finish?
No.
And he says, Kirby, I'm shocked. It's the Curse of Fatal Death. You should know better, honey child.
And now we get into the pedant territory.
I responded, that's what it says. Now.
Now.
Oh.
May I finish?
He's very assertive today, isn't he? It's very entertaining. Carry on, Kirby.
After Kirsty's little gif.
GIF.
Oh, how demeaning of you. Thank you. My little gif. That little, thank you very much.
Yeah.
I then explain, someone needs to tell the devious people that, because they did the same thing. It's a confusion, because it's often out there mistakenly called the Curse of the Fatal Death.
Yes, we explained this in the show previous week.
Shouldn't be there.
Do you know what, that when we talked about it on the show last week, or the week before, it resulted in a certain jingle being played, Kirby. So you're lucky I'm not playing it now. I've got a different window open. Carry on.
And then I said, did I actually say one of those these shouldn't be there? I'm not sure if that sentence has ever been used so completely accurately before, because of all the quotation marks. Unfortunately, my little fan edit also has one too few these, and there isn't anything I can do about it except tell you. I'll explain later.
Ah.
And I also have a little scan from the TimeGate program book from 2015, where I was on a Curse of Fatal Death panel.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why he says outrageous about that.
Oh, I don't know either. Maybe he can explain.
Maybe it's because there wasn't a "the" at the front.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Then he posted a picture of Joanna Lumley
looking down,
looking for the on switch.
Tagged me in it.
Tagged me, and then go ahead, Kirsty. What was your response?
I'm working on it. Takes a while to grow these. I'm sorry. About 3 years. Come back. It's a slow regeneration, folks. Slow regeneration. Yeah.
Okay, I'll skip Ian. Lillian says, I can't watch live stream this week. Too busy. The Curse of Fatal Death is a classic. So
I
hilarious.
I rushed this live stream.
Too busy?
Unbelievable.
Too busy?
Yeah.
Was it canon for its time, as there wasn't a Ninth Doctor then? I think we discussed that.
I think we pedanted over that for a bit.
Yes, and she also asked, y'all recording next week?
Yeah, too busy? Where are your priorities, girl?
Yeah, absolutely.
And Alan T. Butcher responds, Lillian's doing the legwork. Some pictures from Matthew Kressel of his Christmas tree.
Oh, I put those. I was trying to respond back to Tim earlier, saying that there weren't enough decorations, so I thought I'd show off the decorations on my own Christmas tree. Wrong thread. Sorry.
The Snoopy incarnation of the Doctor.
Well, and yes. Then didn't we have someone start up a separate thread? Let me look.
I haven't seen any separate threads.
On Dalek too.
Hang on, I got to get back here. Where is it?
Over there.
Somebody called Matthew Kressel says subtle difference in the mid.
Oh, yeah, subtle differences in mid-curse cliffhanger on the Red Nose Day YouTube channel. You get 3 Daleks, watch it on the official Doctor Who YouTube channel, and you get an army of Daleks, which is the original version.
Ah.
I then say, see, Kirsty, I'm nothing compared to the pedantry of Matthew Kressel.
It says Kirsty Bissett here.
Through this a lot already.
Yeah. Christy Sorry. Says he's just being informative. Like, did you know there's a 4K version? I said, see, Christy, I am nothing compared to the pedantry of Christy.
Well, that concludes that particular sequence. Yeah.
I'm glad we got out of that, because I was rather worried we were going to get stuck in a chronic hysteresis.
Yes, anyway, I'm sorry, we're currently on the Enterprise Bridge at the moment. So I just got to press a few buttons. Oh, what's this one do? Ooh.
We're on the Enterprise.
Ooh, me door. Oh, there we go. Sorry, I was getting distracted.
Starboard bow.
Yeah. Beat me up, Scott.
Starboard bow.
Do you want to do, oh, well, I've got this one. Did it work, Mary? Have you been beamed up? I'll take that as enough.
Oh, I am! Oh! Yes, it worked just fine.
Okay, right then. So, who should we go for first? Right then, we've got this, and we got this. Right, Blurb has arrived. Should we go, Debbie can be heads, and Mary can be tails. Alexa, flip a coin.
You got tails.
Mary can be tails, I believe I said, so Mary can start.
My Alexa says tails as well.
So, who cares? Mary.
Well, you activated it.
My Alexa says, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. It's playing Christmas music out there. Sorry, I thought we were all just revealing what our Alexas were doing right now.
Yeah, we're just free associating here.
Oh, okay.
I always free associate.
Go on, Mary. It's you've got Linda and Terry Miles.
Yes, from the Mileses. Okay. The Curse of Fatal Death.
Miles and miles and miles.
Thank you, Kirby.
It was finished. Rowan Atkinson was good as Blackadder. Sorry, not as the Doctor. I'll explain later. Jonathan Pryce was brilliant at chewing on the scenery, a.k.a. the Master. Linda loved that Hugh Grant was in it, so it's a thumbs up from her. Joanna Lumley was the best doctor, even though Moffat had no idea how to write lines for women. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I like Joanna. I watched an American chap doing a review of this, and it showed that he had no idea what Children in Need is about, nor the British sense of humor. He called it childish and stupid due to fart jokes, and the Master falling down the same trap three times. Oh, God, we all love that. Oh, yeah. Okay, these are things aimed at the Doctor Who audience. The BBC said Doctor Who was written for children of the 90s, not adults in a different country in the 2020s. This also proved that the Doctor is the timeless child. Yes. Sorry, this is short, but so was the story. Stay safe, Linda and Terry Miles.
Oh, thank you, Mary, as a very, very eloquently dictated.
Delivered.
As always.
She's quite professional. Coming to a stage near you.
Yeah, no, she's not available for any other podcast, so don't even try.
No, not yet.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian.
Hello, Captain.
Quarries have played an important part in Doctor Who over the years.
Yes.
There's a quarry in Sweden with a different claim to fame. The quarry at Ytterby has four chemical elements named after it. Ytterbium, terbium, erbium, and yttrium. Analysis of minerals from the quarry led to the discovery of seven chemical elements, but they did not name all seven after Ytterby, because that would be silly. I'll explain later. Curse of Fatal Death by Stephen Moffat. The TARDIS was just a means of having historical and future adventures in the series. Stephen Moffat liked to experiment with the repercussions of time travel. This charity special parody foreshadowed him being in charge, and later, a female doctor.
Uh-huh.
I expect the Time War went something like this, with each side trying to prevent the other's existence. This is my 400th feedback.
Hey!
Shame it's so dull. Daleks have no noses. How do they smell? Bye for now.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Did you see, this way, I've been doing podcasting now for several years, how I perfectly blended his feedback into that particular celebration music. You're just sat there agog, aren't you, at my incredible skills.
Well, that is certainly one way to describe it.
Matthew. Now, all right then. That leaves us with Mrs. Deborah Melrose to dictate Alan D. Bujar.
The Five Doctors Serial Edition, or the best etheric beam locators since Perry. Sorry.
Etheric.
Etheric.
It doesn't matter. Either's acceptable.
Oh my God.
Dear 20 megabytes.
You're on the wrong show.
The curse of fatal death is, of course, a closely studied proposition of the power of example and sacrifice as argument and inspiration, which is at the hearts of Doctor Who. This is the mean by which the Doctor defeats two of his greatest foes here by guiding them in a repentant mode to redeem their attitudes. The Doctor's death in aid of his antagonists is the potent influence that achieves this, but in another call that the writer understands very well, the situation at the end is rounded with a eucatastrophe. As in an example of grace beyond hope, the Doctor unexpectedly regenerates and she continues after all. The further meanings of this story abound and are intricate and profound. So for your satisfaction, if you want to know them, then I shall explain later. It should be noted that whilst there are a few sad sacks that would prefer to think of this as the real continuation of Doctor Who rather than the accomplished productions that began in 2005, they are out of their minds as this was a comic relief parody and they should know better.
Yeah.
We also learn that the first real Ninth Doctor posed as an actor to take on the role of the Tenth Doctor from Rowan Atkinson's pretend Ninth Doctor. All in all, The Curse of Fatal Death is a well-judged pastiche of Doctor Who. It is well-written enough to cater on different levels to both long-time fans and the general audience. It is a model for dropping in references whilst maintaining its comedic quality without being laughable like its predecessor charity production. In laying out his pastiche, Stephen Moffat picks out both mocking calls back to recurrent aspects of the show's past and, in keeping with the archetypal travel aspect, also from its future. Once again, as happened several times during these wilderness years, this production infused an important vaccine into the arms of the public to guard against the affliction of the show fading into the past. This story is three episodes too short because this would have been great to see more of each Doctor, and it would have let the production further reflect the most common style of Doctor Who stories. Next up, Doctor Who and False Restart, or With Nail Succeeds I. Those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher. Yes,
very well done, Debbie. Very well done, Alan.
Well done. Yes.
Right. I think I should click on that.
But we're doing Revolution next, aren't we?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then Shaka.
Yep.
No. We're just moving on.
Moving on.
We're doing Shaka.
No, we're doing Shaka Revolution.
We're trying to fill a gap, but we don't need a gap anymore.
Revolution's next. Uh-huh. And then we're supposed to be doing Shaka after Revolution.
So I mean.
We're doing Shaka after Revolution.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I thought we weren't. Okay.
You thought wrong.
I think it's because of the way the broadcast schedule ended up.
Because Revolution's the next new Who, and that's the next show we're doing. Therefore, that's the next one.
Right,
we're
then doing. Shaka, then Rose.
Yeah.
No. Why do we have to do Shaka?
I know, that's what I was thinking, Mary, but I thought, God. I was thinking, shall we?
Complete to the
it's
the new year, then we begin, you know.
Yeah, that was it. We were just gap-filling, because we didn't have to do
no,
that.
No, it wasn't a gap-filling thing.
A couple of weeks ago, did we?
No, it's not so to do with that. It's to do with completionism.
So we should take a vote and not let Kirby bully us into it.
No, it's not a Kirby thing. It was my choice that I wanted to be completionistic, and that... unfortunately, because I wanted to do Dimensions in Time and I wanted to do this one, it would be not right to not do the Shalka thingy. And I've also got the DVD.
Doctor Who downstairs. I can hear the theme tune.
Really? Neil James says, where can he get Scream of the Shalka? I'm pretty sure it was on YouTube, wasn't it?
I've never seen it.
Me not.
No.
I've bought it twice now.
It's available somewhere. I'm not entirely sure where. I'm pretty sure it's on YouTube. Or somewhere like that.
Dailymotion, perhaps?
Don't swear on my podcast. Maybe we should look into it.
See if it's on any.
Is it your decision that we're going ahead with Shocker?
I'm sorry. Yes, it's a very painful one. I have to say, Mary.
You're the head. You decide.
He's trying to get
Mary and I are in agreement on this one, but we'll do it if you want us to.
Yeah, I don't really want to do it, but I don't want to be in a position of doing the journey for 7 years and then missing one. Sadly.
Well, here's a ticket. I mean, I'm good either way. I don't care. But a tick in the column for doing it is that you will avoid pedantry at least on one thing for the remainder of this show when you say our complete. Well, except for.
Yeah. And the other thing is.
Was that a good confirmation of the voice?
Yes,
good,
it was very good. Very good. But the other thing is that I also want to do the animated Tenant stories as well. So it wouldn't be right not to include Schalke in that. Sorry. I have to watch it as well, you know. Anyway, right.
Yeah, I got a DVD that has all the animated versions, all the animated things up to the most recent one.
Splendid,
and,
right?
It has Shaka on it, and I have a digital copy of it.
Well, that's nice. See, there, Kirby can distribute this very legally, of course.
No, The digital copy.
We'll all
I've
go
got,
around
I've
the Kirby's
watch
place
on...
later and watch it.
Yeah.
I'll watch it on YouTube or the Forever Moving thing, you know. For...
The Forever Moving Daily Motion.
Yeah, I can't wait for you to watch my digital copy. I have to give you my login, which I ain't going to do.
No. Right then, moving on away from your whatever you're saying. Doctor Who News. Jeremy Bullock has passed away. He appeared in 7 episodes of Doctor Who, his first appearance in 1965 when he played the first Dr. William Hartnell in the story Space Museum. And he returned in 1973 to play Hal the Archer in The Time Warrior. Oh, I remember him.
It's his most famous part.
Yeah, he was good in that.
Yes, he was.
And it reminded
Everyone was saying he was in some other movie franchise, but no, he was the Archer, Hal the Archer.
Yeah, but he reminded me of the character in Silver Nemesis, that thing. He also played Boba Fett in some franchise Disney.
Yeah, something. I don't know what it was.
Don't ever in that.
Boba Fett.
Master.
What?
Master, what? Did you watch The Last Mandalorian yet?
Will you bloody stop going on about a bloody Mandalorian? No, I have not.
No, I'm just asking.
I think it's a no, Kirby.
Okay, so
I haven't watched
no.
the bloody penultimate episode yet. Anyway, in the 1960s...
All
he
I wondered was a yes or no.
It's a no, no to the previous one to that as well. In the 1960s, he appeared with Cliff Richard in the fun-filled musical Summer Holiday. Yeah. And that would have also been... Also in that film... Also in that film is a chap I've had a chat with on the phone twice. You're all talking over me. Right, I'm going to get my bloody sound effects back out again.
You're going to be more... You're going to be sterner, like Kirby.
Yeah,
Kirby.
Yeah, Turkey, you should... Kirby should have waited to the new year for his assertive behaviour. Because that would be a nice New Year's resolution, wouldn't it, Kirby? Oh, fine.
Kirby's banished.
Right.
No, I'm here. I'm just not sure.
He was in 2 of the Bond films as well.
Well, Kirby?
Only an octopussy.
Kirby, so, you were in 2 of the Bond films.
I was? I didn't know
apparently
that.
Apparently so, yes.
That was something,
huh? Oh, hang on. Something garbled just coming through over on the Skype system. Then where did I get up? So yeah, we're still talking about Jeremy Bullock,
which is what I was talking about.
Yes, sorry about that. I was trying to say
Mandalorian episode,
that. Oh good God!
A memorial. You know?
Trying to say that. Also in Summer Holiday was Melvin Hayes, who I had a chat with on the phone a few weeks ago, name-dropping.
Did you?
Blatant. What?
Did you? He was in Doctor Who, wasn't he?
Yeah, he probably was. Anyway, I had a chat with him on the phone because I'm going to do an interview with him when COVID's over. He don't want to do anything. Mind you, he's over 80, so he'll probably get the vaccine. I'll have to give him a ring, see if he's had his vaccination. Right then, because then I can go and interview him. The professionals, agony, and blah, blah, blah. He's done a lot of stuff, basically.
He was married to Wendy Pebbery at one stage. Did you know that?
Yes. I'm not going to ask him about that, though, because that would be rude.
No.
Yeah, so Jeremy Bullock, yes. Sad passing off. Doctor Who Magazine Special Edition 2021 Yearbook is out.
Yearbooks.
Along with the Christmas Special Doctor Who Magazine 559 you can get from whoone.co.uk if you want it delivered to your door. Notice where Segway dropped in whoone.co.uk. It's a bit late to try and buy
Christmas
presents
from that. Is that
whoone.co.uk?
Yes. Is that whoone.co.uk?
It's a bit late for this again. We've gone back into November now, but the festive special merchandise was not mentioned last time we looked at the Doctor Who news thing. I did mention last week, I say Lavazzi's fan pages are great, especially if you want to provide them with fan fiction. Somebody told me I should send my Doctor Who script that I also sent to Andrew Smith, who still hasn't replied yet. Keeps on giving me sort of, he's actually got Bruce Parton's Book of Excuses and keeps on coming up with all sorts of things as to why
he hasn't got round to
yes,
Lillian Robin has graced us with her presence.
Lillian Robin, now hang on, where
it's
is she?
It's an official episode now, right?
Hang on, I'm going to reply to her as we speak. About time two.
Just as we're finishing up.
Yeah. All right, lads, time to pack up.
Yeah, bye then.
Yeah, now who's late?
All right, anyway, so that's Doctor Who news. We said who won.
Lavazzi
and their.
By the way, I forgot.
What? I just want to
say.
Don't
remember, you messed up my thoughts.
I did.
Oh, it's your fault.
Anyway, I was just trying to say that along with the Vazi having an excellent fan fiction pages and blogs and stuff like that to do with Doctor Who, they actually do sell some really good products as well, which I've mentioned in previous episodes, scarves and such like.
Scarves?
Yeah.
Lovely
scarves. IWHeroes.co.uk, or if you follow Heroes on Facebook, Rob regularly does box openings, which I find particularly exciting. And I managed to reserve my child with egg canister figure thingy. I haven't bought it yet, but I've reserved it. Much cheaper from Heroes, actually, to be fair. Right. What's this one do? Got all sorts of buttons there.
What's this one do?
Oh, I've got some.
That's what she says.
A big red button.
Oh, I've got something to fire at Kirby.
Have you?
Oh. I love that
one.
Just
fire Kirby. Oh. Sorry, who'd do the spreadsheets?
Yeah, who would?
I wasn't expecting the 1953 Martians to show up.
That's a good one, isn't it? Lil James says, "Has a great Christmas, everyone. We'll miss you next week." Yes, I'll miss me next week too. Don't worry.
Good luck getting sober, Neil.
Yes, we're having a week off. It's Christmas, so essentially this is the Christmas episode of the 20 Megabyte Dot True podcast. So what's that funny noise?
Me doing a falsetto, probably. Working on it, all right?
I'm trying to wish everybody happy Christmas, for goodness sake. We wish everybody happy Christmas, and we can't get much worse than 2020 if I say Happy New Year. But we can all live in hope, can't we?
Excuse me,
we've
got Brexit.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
A Merry
Christmas. Happy New Year.
Good
tidings we bring to you and your... I was supposed to sing along. We wish... What were you lot doing? I thought we were singing We Wish You a Merry Christmas and trying to sing it all together over
we were,
vast corners of the earth.
We wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas
and a Happy New Year.
I didn't hear Debbie singing.
I did both.
Oh, but I didn't hear Debbie singing. Right, she has to do it on her own now.
I heard that. I was singing with Deb.
Oh, by the way, this year I set up my porch lights to be controlled by Alexa. And to turn them off, I say, Alexa, bah humbug.
You tried, didn't you? But she didn't listen to you, I'm afraid, Co, because obviously, well, you don't speak proper English. it didn't actually take any notice of you whatsoever. Anyway.
Alex.
Anyway, right then, what we got here? Robert's Lillian Robin, happy Christmas, everyone. Sorry, Lillian late Robin, happy Christmas, everyone. And
late Lillian Robin.
Hang on, Neil Jones says, oh no, don't sing. Is it just too good for you, maybe? I do not know. So next week it's Christmas, so have a nice time. The week after that, it's, what's it called again? Revolution.
Revolution. Revolution of the Daleks.
Oh, call it Revolution.
I wonder if there's Daleks in it.
Daleks. Looking forward to seeing that. The next episode after that will be Scream of the Shalker. I'm sorry. I apologize now, but it's part of the completionism part of the show.
I agree. Well, you know,
don't apologize.
Well, the thing is, right, it's like, like me when I had to have my colonoscopy thingamajig. I had to starve myself and eat all this stuff to make myself have an excruciatingly uncomfortable diarrhea, and then I was able to eat something after that, which was lovely. So it's a bit like that, you know. You sort of have to suffer a little bit of discomfort.
What the heck's wrong with this episode of About to?
It was an analogy.
Colonoscopy.
Analogy.
I think I'll be. Shalka, I think I'll miss the next episode.
Analogy.
Okay, if you want completion.
Uh-oh, there you go. Oh, not that much completion, Kirby.
Shall we be doing the proms concerts?
That's not a story, though, is it? It's not a Doctor Who story, Kirby. Yes.
What about the ones that they broadcast online, then? Or the other ones?
Well, the webcasts aren't fully animated. They're closer to something like Big Finish with pictures than they are Shalka, which was a fully animated thing.
He's talking about something that went along.
The minisodes and the minisodes. The webisodes and stuff.
Look, like that. The minisodes,
they're episodes they actually go with.
Right.
And the 11th Doctor in one of the proms things was in character.
No.
Sorry.
And also, what about Magic?
That's a pedant too far, Kirby.
What about Magic of the Spheres?
Has he shut up yet? Right, let me explain. Right, if you're talking about the little mini episodes that we had in the Moffat era, yes, we'll be doing those. They are available on the BBC and YouTube channel, and they are sort of part of the canon of the stories at around about that time. So, the ones I particularly like about that are the River Song episodes, which are really, really cool.
What about P.S.?
Pardon?
Night of the Doctor?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's one of them. Night of the Doctor is part of that ilk.
We could handle this in a text later, you know.
Yes.
Sure.
You know, something happened at work. Before I finish the show, something happened at work. Alicia started her very short time at Marks & Spencer on Saturday.
What do you mean very short time? Is she already finished?
Well, she's only there for a week. Well, she started yesterday and she finishes on Christmas Eve, so it's not very long, is it? Anyway,
I thought she might have gotten fired.
Somebody,
yeah, the way you would find it. Yeah.
Somebody sort of insulted her. And I think it was very very harsh. And I think Deb should go down and sort them out. I think it was Elaine actually insulted her, saying that she was very, very much like me.
Oh,
I don't think she'd like that at all.
Oh my God, that's
the meanest thing to say. She's only met her and known her for one day to say something as hurtful.
Oh that you like your own father. Oh my god.
Yeah, she talks like you, she walks like you. Anyway, Alicia Butcher said you already missed out on a fix with the Centaurans episode. Yeah, well, that's because Jimmy Savile's in it, and therefore it is deleted from my mind.
Yeah, the less we say about that, the better.
Yes.
Yeah, we did. We had the discussion about why we wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
What about Death Comes to Time?
Well, Death Comes to Time's not widely available anymore. None of the webcasts are.
Death
that's
Comes
the
to
problem.
Time, isn't that? Oh, no, 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 no.
I've heard it for you guys.
No, 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 no. This is getting silly.
I mean, I love Death Comes to Time as much as the next person. Adam. It is not canonical Doctor Who.
What about the idents?
Oh, yeah.
Adam just said this through
the show. That one with
Debbie,
the reindeer and the doctor and the TARDIS. That
Debbie,
was...
help me.
Yeah, Adam, just send us a list through of what you want us to
watch. I've already very well said.
Yes.
We'll do it week by week.
The master.
We'll do it week by week. I've already said anyway, but we'll do it about as and when we get to the point in which
we start in rows after the New Year episode.
We are eventually. It's not. It's nothing to do with it being New Year. It just happens to fall around New Year. It's not that we must do this because we're waiting till the New Year for it to happen. It just fell that way.
It just happened.
Yeah.
Well,
it could have happened sooner, but you're stuck in all these other ones. Like,
no,
not cross.
This is where it all ends, folks. This is how it all ends. This is how 20 megabyte falls apart at the end.
This is where we implode.
Yeah.
I'm not going to implode. I want to watch whatever...
I've never finished it.
Whatever Master says. Mm. Oh, well, the thing is that we have pretty much...
Don't you know it.
...watched everything. Because we've already gone through all of New Who.
Do-do-do-do-do. Oh, sorry. Are we back into the land of living?
I'm a MacGander, probably not the one you're expecting. And you're listening to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
I doubt they still are. Anyway, right. So next time it will be the new year. It'll be 2021, and we'll have this horrible year behind us, and we'll all be back to watching Doctor Who again.
Yay.
And thank you. Oh, the Cloister Bell. That's a really good one. Terry Miles has suggested that I ring the Cloister Bell to rescue me from this pointless conversation. Hmm. Yes, I'll see what I can do for you. There we are. Oh, it just jumped. Here we go. This is for you, Terry.
What, just once?
Danger, danger.
Anyway, so have a nice Christmas and a safe New Year. Bye.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
Bye.
So long.
Oh, thanks for all the fish.
What a way to end things.
That was just bickering at the end.
I never want to hear how pedantic I am again. I just say.
I like how Kirby
did you not realize you were pedantic?
The show and then went on to prove.
Yeah, it was weird. Kirby, you were scrumsy.
Go back to my early appearances when I was normal.
Really?
Does the internet hold that much that far back?
Ooh, what's this one do?
Yes. Well, for the most part, except I wanted to go back and hear our discussion of what was it.
I found the sound effect from Doctor Who I hate the most. This one.
What is that sound effect?
Oh, it's from a Tom Baker episode somewhere.
Horn to Nymon. It's the TARDIS console going wrong when he's trying to repair it.
Oh, yeah, that's just like... Oh,
bloody awful.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production sponsored by whowon.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.